taken again from Genesis chapter 3. Last week during the anniversary, we actually talked about Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and we talked about Abraham and the occurrences that happened in his life and all the things that were around his life. So this week we actually come up on our text, which God has never given me the freedom to really preach in this area before, which is the creation of man. The creation of man, found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. As soon as you have it, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all can do some aerobics with me. Y'all can stand. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God actually say you should not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. For a title today, Voices in the Garden. Voices in the Garden. As a little bit of background, God had already talked to Adam personally in chapter 2. He said, man, you could eat anything you want in the garden. Any. Help yourself. But there is one stipulation. There is one tree I don't want you to mess with. You all, anytime somebody says, don't walk on my grass, you may see these 12 walking on some grass. We kind of messed up in that area. You know what I mean? The Bible said, don't do it, and we do it anyway. God told Adam directly, don't eat of the tree. Now, an interesting thing is, now Adam was a smart individual. Not only did God tell him not to eat from the tree, he brought all the animals to Adam, and he named all the animals. Right. Man, that takes some brain matter. So he brought them, and then after he named everything, God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. And lo and behold, watch the show. Bam! He made woman. And Adam saw, hey, this is good. Now Adam saw, he not only saw the woman, but he knew who the woman was for, and he knew the intent of the woman. Whoa, great matter, y'all. So if an evolutionary guy tries to tell you that man come from apes and it has to take millions and millions of years before you get there, the Bible says something different.
Amen.
You are valuable to God. God made you somebody. God said, don't eat of the tree previously. Now, a serpent, a creature, talks to the woman. Live example. Talks to the woman, Pastor. Now, I am the head. I am the head of my wife, but the serpent talks to the woman. And while he's talking to the woman, Pastor, I'm standing over here, and he's talking to the woman. Now, all the while, I'm just silent. Now, listen, fellas. While the enemy is trying to mess with our houses, mess with our wives, mess with our children, we're standing by quiet. I'm not pointing no fingers at y'all. I'm pointing the finger at me. You come in my house from now on after the word of God got a hold of me, you better watch out. You better watch out. Because now I'm on this dangerous, and you better watch out. You're going to bring that junk into my house, you better watch out. He stands by, this serpent, very cunning, gives a very logical argument. Gives a very logical argument to some people who are not stupid by any means. But you know what? If somebody, we like to think we're very wise. We like to think we're very important. And now, if I can get you to no matter what God has said to you, if I can kind of get to you a little bit and say, man, you could be wise. You could be very smart. I would tend to actually not want to do what God say and do what I want to do then. Because now I have become wise. Now, if anybody tells you, man, this world's going to get better because all we have to do is have the proper environment, all we have to do is have the proper things going on, clean water, good government, they lie. Because in the garden here, I see everything was perfect, everything was good, and we still had a problem.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. Yeah.
So, listen. What they tend to not understand is that it takes God. It takes godly wisdom to really deal the way I'm supposed to deal. Amen. No matter how good I am, no matter how smart I am, even if I'm a Solomon guy, if I don't depend on God, I'm going to be wrong every time. And the end of my life will be worse than the beginning. Because I forgot God. The woman's response was interesting too. She said, God said we should not eat it. And then there's a little addendum on that. We shouldn't even touch it. If you really look at it closer, that kind of sounds like God is kind of strict, ain't he? He is kind of strict. You know, he really too strict. You know, if I ever get in that mindset, I am open now for a mess up. I'm open now for all those things that you could suggest to me that are wrong. Even though God says don't do them, I'm not open to them. Interesting. You know God. You know he done brought you from a mighty long way. He done all this for you. And then somebody come along and say, he really trying to keep something from you. He don't want you to have all the knowledge that you need. There's a suggestion that there is something missing. Even though God himself said everything he made was good, now somebody comes along and says, something missing. That's the way sin do. Yeah. You got all that you need, but the next commercial come on and say, I need an LCD now. Some good-looking girl come along. No, I got everything I need. Yeah. But what sin does is it makes me discontent with what God has given me. Right. Y'all caught it, right?
Right.
Amen. Verse 6-7. Now, so much damage has been done already. The serpent don't even need to continue his conversation no more. Interesting. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Sister Vera, I want you to stand up and read that message. As soon as everybody get there. So you dare say amen.
Amen.
Amen. But each one is tempted when? By his own evil.
Ho, sister. Wait. No, I'm not satisfied with what God got for me. I'm not open for a temptation that says, hey, I need to be more. I need to be more. God, you have given me what you said was your best. But now I got other information that now says maybe that wasn't the best. Go ahead.
He is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
Oh my. Oh Jesus. Can I ask you all to be careful? That's why we ought to pray without ceasing. That's why we also should be thankful. We should also be thankful for the things that God has already given us. Because if I'm thankful for something, I don't have time to be discontent. So I need to pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks.
Amen.
But this is the will of God and who? Christ in you. Now, if you'll listen, if you'll apply, the commercials ain't got no more power over you. The big leg ladies don't have no more power over you no more. The new car that you know you can't afford don't have power over you no more. Because now I'm satisfied with what God has what given me. But preacher, it's just putting around here.
Now the bait has been set. It's been dropped in the trap. The trap slaps closed. The serpent don't have to talk no more because he has already planted the seed already. He has planted the seed already. And now the woman is in a logical analysis herself. She don't need no more external input because she's got all the input she needs. Now she's processing the thing. But James say, you better watch out doing that type of thing. Because once these things start cohabitating together, what they really start to make is not something that you want to deal with. Because when it cohabitates and it becomes a sin, sin not only messes up you, it messes up somebody else.
That's right. That's right. Right.
As always, when sin is promised, the result is not what is not what is promised. Sometimes things seem like they're right, but they are not right. And after, let's do verse number 6. Let me read that for you. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, verse number 6, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. Note that, she ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Verse number 7. Bam! Then the eyes of both were open. Can I submit something to you? She ate, and she didn't see nothing different. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm all right. But it's interesting that after the man ate, because God talked directly to the man in chapter number 2, after he ate, bam, their eyes were open. And then she saw, and he saw, we naked now. Now, that tells you, number one, God has an order of things.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to say that, Pastor. God has an order of things. Mm-hmm. And anytime we get out of that order, everybody get messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And listen, now, they saw something that they were seeing all the time. And it was good because God said it was good.
Amen.
And then after they ate, hey. Got to get straightened out here. Now I'm ashamed of something that God done gave me.
Don't nobody go to sleep. I'll call on you.
Can you imagine this? The God of the universe, who made all things and by whom all things consist and hold together, that same God is walking and talking with you.
Amen.
Walking and talking with you. Now, due to some external information, you compromise that relationship.
Right.
Think about it. The God of the universe walk with you, talk with you. And then sin enter in and you don't want that relationship no more. I was reading this thing and say, Billy, can I ask you a question? Do you really still want that relationship? Are you looking at them, but are you looking at your own life? Or are you listening to external information and voices that I really shouldn't be listening to, and I'm going in a different direction, and Lord, I don't want your relationship or your presence no more. And I had to stop study, Pastor, and repent. Because I see some areas where I need to shed some things and I need to get back with it. Because believe it or not, he's the lover of your soul. Everything he gives is good.
Amen.
And external information, I can't really count on that no more. Not only do I not want to walk with God anymore, this is interesting. Verse number 9 and 10, I'm going to read this. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? Last week we kind of understood this thing as to say, God don't need to, he already know where you are. He's in a place that you are. Those probing questions are thrown out there as a diagnostic tool to kind of get you to see where you are. And an interesting thing is, his response was, let's read. Verse number 10, and he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, a place where we usually hang out. I heard the sound of you in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. That's kind of an oxymoron. It's interesting because if he's everywhere at the same time, he's all powerful, how in the world can I hide from him? We do our little dirt. God don't see me. Oh, yes, he do. We are so interesting until we still try to hide behind truth. And God sees everything and everybody. He not only sees you on the outside, he sees the heart.
Amen. Right.
God says in verse 11, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to? Man. When queried by God, why not just say, what is the statement nowadays? Manna? Manna? What sin does to you, you can't man up no more. Because, how can I say it? You busy wearing a skirt. I got to tell you the truth. And instead of standing up like a man and saying, Lord, you told me not to eat and I ate, you go and say, this woman you gave me, she's the one that caused all of this. As a matter of fact, not only am I saying that, but I'm accusing God also. The one that you gave me is the one who messed me up. Your voice is perfect. You know all things, but the one that you gave me messed me up. Then he goes to the woman. Listen, y'all. I'm painting a bleak picture.
a very bleak picture. Man, we just descended from one level down to another level down. But I tell you what, when it's darkest out, the light of the Lord is the brightest. The problem is that we have an issue seeing that because we are listening to things we really shouldn't be listening to.
The woman said, this serpent, he deceived me and I ate. Then the Lord said, this is verse number 13. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And the Lord said to the serpent, God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Verse number 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In the darkest night, lighthouses are most important when there are storms. There are overcast, you can't see nothing, there's no street light. All you know is a lighthouse is showing you the way. Man has fallen from this great garden. He's fallen, he's fallen down, and it seems like it's all over with. But that's when God steps in. He steps in when we are not able to do things for ourselves. We can no longer get to God because we've severed that relationship with God. He said, now, this is awesome. God uses the same one that the serpent used to mess up mankind. Well, he used her because he said, through you, your seed shall come one who's going to stomp on the head of the serpent. Yeah. Not only stomp on the head of the serpent, he's going to strike you on the foot, but that's not a deadly bite.
Yeah.
If you get me up higher where you can get me and it can circulate, you got it. But if you're striking me on the heel, that's not a deadly shot. Mm-hmm. Listen. On the cross,
yeah.
On the cross, Jesus struck on the heel. It looked over with.
Yeah.
It was all over with.
Yeah.
But listen, the Bible says that on the cross, Satan was judged.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, that's a seemingly a lost situation. Really? But God, he'll make a way out of no way. When Satan thought he had me, he thought everybody in the garden was through. He said, I'm locked up, they tied up, and I am the man. On the cross, Jesus says what it is finished.
Yeah.
To tell a sign means all the accounts are now settled.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8, that's in there. Mm. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:28. Which one of the kids is a good reader? Stand up and read it loud, man. Screaming out and stuff, you know, like you're working on the game. Jordan,
loud. lie.
I just want to leave you with a thought. That was good, y'all. Tight, brother. Thanks.
Romans 8:1 says, now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Who walk not according to the flesh, but by what? The Spirit. And now, is there any way that I can now be separated? Mm-hmm. Listen, no. No, no, no. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in who? Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because on the cross, he said to tell us that it's finished. Devil, you can't come and accuse Audrey McCullough no more, because I done died for her, and the blood on the cross says there's nothing that can separate her from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what that verse says. Now, do you believe that?
Amen.
If you believe that, operate accordingly. Yes.
All right.
And then if you've messed up, what was that, 1 John 9? Somebody get that for me.
1 John chapter 9.
1 John chapter 9. If you messed up, Lord have mercy, there's a remedy. If you're in Christ and you messed up, there's a remedy. Oh. 1:9, I'm sorry. 1:9. All right, watch out, big dad.
1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And that's another voice, isn't it?
That's another voice that says if we have messed up and we're in Christ, he said he's faithful and just to forgive and also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, it's one thing to be forgiven, but what about the weight of sin? I need to have that off of me. Because if I have the weight of sin on me, I cannot be effective.
If you're a Christian today, you're in good shape. You're in very good shape. Because God has made a way for you to be in fellowship and stay in fellowship. But if you're not a Christian, there is a way that has been made that you can find life. And this could possibly be your day. Because I talked about all the Christian Bennies, no matter how bad you messed up, God is able to clean you up.
Right.
He's able to clean you up. And I know that firsthand because he cleaned me up.
Amen.
If he can get me, he can get you. Voices in the garden. I hope this has helped somebody because it sure helped me.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, thank you today. Thank you that your word is true. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you're able to keep those things that you have started. Your word says that those things that you start, you are able to complete until the coming again of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for that right now. And I thank you that this word, I hope, Lord, will reside in the hearts of those who heard it. Your word again says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God has said. Not only hear, Lord, but be doers of the word.
and to glorify your name and to go tell somebody and, Lord, warn somebody else to be vigilant to your voice alone. Lord, thank you today. Thank you again. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Let us meditate on the word.